I got a little Bible illustration program and a very nice thought-provoking illustration called Faithfulness, Preparation, Rest. A young man applied for a job as a farmhand. When the farmer asked for his qualifications, he said, "I can sleep when the wind blows." This puzzled the farmer, but he liked the young man, hired him. A few days later, the farmer and his wife were awakened in the night by a violent storm. They quickly began to check things out to see if all was secure. They found that the shutters of the farmhouse had been securely fastened. A good supply of logs had been set next to the fireplace, and their young servant man slept soundly. The farmer and his wife then inspected the property. They found the farm tools had been placed in the storage shed, safe from the elements. The tractor had been moved into the garage. The barn was properly locked. Even the animals were calm. All was well. The farmer then understood the meaning of the young man's words, "I can sleep when the wind blows." Because the farmhand did his work loyally and faithfully when the skies were clear, he was prepared for the storm when it broke. So when the wind blew, he was not afraid. He could sleep in peace. Can we trust the Lord when the storm blows and trust Him? I know we can. Brother Bob, would you lead us in a word of prayer before we look into the Word?
Father God, we come to you with thankful hearts. Thank you, Lord, that we come into your house this evening.
Amen.
To worship you and study your Word. Thank you, Lord, Father, for your care. And once again, we pray for our pastor. We pray for our missionary we heard today. We pray for him and his illnesses. We pray for them as they travel. Now, Father, be with Brother Buchanan as he brings forth the Word. In Jesus' precious name.
Amen. John 14, verse 1. I'd ask you all to quote it together. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Let not your heart be troubled. Makes you think of the stormy sea, doesn't it? When Jesus was asleep in the hinder part of the boat. And they awakened him, and so fearful they cried, "Lord, save us, we perish." And Jesus said, "Peace, be still." And the sea was calmed. And of course he had to berate them for their lack of faith. Verse 27, John 14. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. And he says the same words he said in verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. And he also says, neither let it be afraid. Fear. There's a lot of people that are very fearful today. Things are tough, people, economically, spiritually. My, oh my, the trouble we're in this country. A horrible perversion and immorality that just covers our land and our people. The terrible fear that someone's going to have a drive-by shooting and kill some of us. Drugs. Broken marriages. But Jesus said, even in his time, when there was trouble then, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, in the Father, believe also in me. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Let's go clear back to the Old Testament and see a Bible illustration of fear. and God's protection. 2 Kings chapter 6. Verse 8. And I'm going to read down through the 17th. That's a lot of reading. The king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him, and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. Therefore the heart of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. He called his servants and said unto them, will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. And he said, go and spy where he is, that it may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Now, I used to be there too. Not the same one. I lived 9 years in Dothan. Well, therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. They came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host passed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master! How shall we do? Fear? Yes, he was fearful. And he answered, Elisha answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Now what in the world could he be talking about? And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And, of course, the rest of the story is that they were smote with blindness after the prayer of the prophet, and they were led home according to the word. He smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Open mine eyes that I may see. It's time that we go back to the book of Proverbs and the verses we know so well. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to our own understanding. In all our ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. We keep talking to various ones, and they say, are we going to have a depression? Well, excuse me, did we ever have a depression, people? How many here lived during the Depression? I'm one. Must be us old folks. Older folks. Even Buster. Okay. Well, I don't really know a whole lot about the Depression myself because I was born in the middle of it. But I heard tell of people that when the banks closed and they wouldn't give money out or they ran out of money, the rich people jumped from the bridges, shot themselves, hanged themselves. Suicide was rampant throughout the nation. That is, if you got the wrong God. But we have the Lord God, and we can trust in him. Why should we fear? Why should we fear? Well, we need to go to 2 Timothy now and have some spiritual instruction about not being afraid. 2 Timothy chapter 1. The Lord says through Isaiah, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace because he trusteth in thee, because his mind is stayed on thee, and because he trusteth in thee. What a wonderful verse. The Lord is the only source of perfect peace. Perfect love casteth out fear. Oh, we need to love the Lord then, don't we? 2 Timothy, I'm having trouble finding my place, but it's there. There it is. All right, verse 7, a great verse of the Bible. This man, Paul, was talking to Timothy, writing to Timothy, talking about how he had laid his hands upon him, and he had received a gift from the Lord, I think it was the Holy Spirit endowment, to serve the Lord in preaching ministry. And he was told in an earlier verse, stir up the gift that is in thee. Verse 6. And he said, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Are any of you afraid? Well, the devil's the one that brings fear. It's not God, folks. He's the Almighty God. And there's nothing too hard for him. How would you like to be in the three sons of Israel, standing outside of the fiery furnace? And the king said, bow your knee and worship my image. When you hear the sound of the sackbut, the harp, or the dulcimer, or whatever. And they said, no. O king, we will not. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, we will not bow down to that image. But even if we're put in a fiery furnace and should die, yet we know that our God is able to deliver us. Folks, they were trusting in the Lord. Great Bible examples. For the Bible says we do not have from God a spirit of fear. So there we have a spirit of courage. Courage. And it's a spirit of power. You know what the word power is there? It's a word dunamis. Just like Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. It's the dynamite of God. It is the great, powerful work of God. And so God has not given a spirit of fear, but of power. We need that every day, don't we? Can you walk victoriously without faith in God? I can't. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith in our Lord, isn't it right? We must have faith. And God will give us power to walk, to live day by day. And he's not given us a spirit of fear, but he's given us a spirit of love. This is another good Bible word. It's not phileo or eros. It is the self-sacrificing love that pastor has been talking to us about. Agape. It is God's love. And remember, again, he said perfect love casts out fear. So are we going to be afraid of financial breaking? Are we going to be afraid of people breaking in? I can think so many times down through my life that almost I was hurt or something happened. But you know what? The Lord was with me. I remember as a boy standing on the barn floor. We had a double barn floor, two doors in. And my brother Larry was driving the Farm All H with the buck rake on it. And I don't suppose any of you, has anybody ever seen a buck rake? I'm talking about the kind that goes out on the front of the, Dad made this one. And Larry got too close to the middle part between the two barns and hit it. And one of those great big logs, or whatever you call them, beams, that was laying up there with pegs, came down. I was here, and the hole, it busted in the barn floor right there. that much, and I'd have been dead. If that thing hit me in the head, I'd have been crushed to death. You've been in things like that, many of you. But isn't the Lord wonderful in caring for His own? Yes, we don't need to fear, because we have the Lord's power, and we have His love. Thirdly, a sound mind. Now, what is a sound mind? Well, my commentator that I read said it is a self-control, self-disciplined mind. The Lord gives us a mind to know what is right to do. We are to live what? The grace of God teaches you to live how? Soberly. You know what that is? That's the sound mind. To live godly. What is that? Godlike? Well, who's God? Of course, that's the Father. In other words, that's the perpendicular life and walk we have before God. And righteously. How's that different from godliness? I reckon that's how we live with each other, is the way we walk in this world. And so God wants us to be of a sound mind, to be clear. And who can help us in that? That's the precious Holy Spirit. He can help us to do the things that are right, to live right. So God would have us live that way. So let us look at the three things that God has given us. A spirit of courage that's brought on and activated and empowered by the power of God. And then, the spirit of love. I've seen churches where I knew some people that didn't have this spirit. They envied one another. Have you ever known anybody in the church to envy their brother and sister in Christ? Maybe envy their position. Maybe envy them because they got a certain gift that they don't have. I tell you, in some churches, this is rampant, and it's a problem. But it doesn't have to be so in this church. And of a sound mind, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. But be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Now I want to go down to verse 12. Do you have assurance today? You know you're saved. Pastor's been talking a lot about that to us around here, hadn't he? Do you say you're saved, or are you really saved? I know a guy in the Bible that knew he was saved, and his name was Paul. He said in verse 11, I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause, because I have this position in the Lord, I also suffer these things. What things? He's writing this from prison, folks, in Rome. He says, preaching the gospel has brought me to a prison house of Rome. He just said, though, he wasn't ashamed. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have, what? Believed. It just all comes right back to that, doesn't it? We don't need to be fearful of Satan, the flesh, or the world, if we're trusting the Lord. I know in whom I have believed. I think back of his conversion. What an amazing one it was on that road to Damascus. He was breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the Christian. And so he went to the high priest and he got letters and was on his way to Damascus and he got stopped. And a voice cried out from heaven, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And who art thou, Lord? See, he didn't believe Jesus was the Lord. And Jesus plainly said, I am Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. Boy, did he get up. He went blind physically, but he came alive spiritually, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Go on into Jerusalem, go into a place in the city called Straight, and it will be told you what you need to do. What a testimony of the grace of God. Ananias came and did give him the way of salvation. He trusted Christ as his Savior. But he knew from the time he was on that road and the bright light came and the voice came down, he knew he'd been fighting against the Son of God. And he never looked back, did he? He'd been beaten, about 3 times, we're told? He'd been naked, he'd been in the snow, he'd been in shipwreck 3 times. And all those troubles, yet what did Paul do? He trusted the Lord. I know in whom I have believed. Do you? And am persuaded that he is able. Are you like the 3 sons of Israel? Even though you throw us in that fiery furnace, we know this. If God wants us to, he is able to deliver us even from you and your fiery furnace, and he did. And when they got in that furnace, did you guess there weren't 3 people walking in there? There were 4. Do you believe Jesus was in there with them? I do. I think a pre-incarnation, some type or form Jesus took and he came down and he walked in the furnace. And those that looked in said, it looks like the Son of God. I don't know how they knew that, because they didn't believe in him. He is able to deliver thee. I know in whom I have believed. I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. What a wonderful thing to know the Lord and to know that he is almighty. Maybe that's why he talked to that man named Abraham so plainly. So many years ago, Abraham had been promised for what? Right on 25 years. From the time he was 75 until he was 100 years old, God kept telling him he's going to have a son. And that he's going to have a generation born or people born, and the number of them be like the sand of the seaside and like the stars of heaven. And my Bible says that Abraham did not stagger. But what did he do? He believed the promises of God, and his faith was counted unto him for righteousness. So can we really trust this same God, that the God of Elisha, the God of Abraham, the God of Paul and Timothy? I say we can surely trust in him. So let's go back and hear our opening verses. You believe in God, believe also in me. Let not your hearts be what? Troubled. And verse 27 said, peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Joy cometh in the morning, Christian, though you might have trouble today. Because you see, you belong to the Lord. You're born again, and he's your Lord, and he will never leave you nor forsake you. Isn't that what he said? Do you believe it? Amen. So let's trust the Lord with all our hearts, leaning not to our own understanding in all our ways, letting him guide us. What a wonderful truth it is for us. I want to look at those verses in 7 and 12 again. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear. That's from Satan. That is not from God. But he's given us a spirit of power. And he gives us a spirit of love. And a spirit of a sound mind. And then Paul says to Timothy, and I think he gave these words especially to Timothy, because don't you think that Timothy was a little bit timid. Everything I can find from what we see is, he says, Timothy, drink just a little bit of wine for your stomach's sake. I don't know if he had ulcers, but it seemed like Paul always had to sort of stir him up and strengthen him and giving him charges and then giving him the promises. And he says, here I am sitting over here in this prison, but guess what? I have fought the good fight. I've kept the faith. I'm finished with this journey. And I want you, Timothy, to trust in the Lord. In verse 12, here's my personal testimony for the things which I also suffer for these things, which cause I also suffer for these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. That's like put